not a dummy like these other niggas y'all have on here.
You don't rock with what we got going on.
I do.
No, you don't.
What you mean?
You give me the producer notes and I apply them right away. Like,
start the show, man.
You don't think that it should be a
show as we get in? Start the show. Are you recording?
Yeah, we've been recording.
You just rock with me, my boy. You rock with me, my boy. So you're going to be happy for me.
I'm not going to say I don't think it's
your thing. Hey, I appreciate all y'all standing up at my wedding. I appreciate that.
I didn't get invite.
Damn.
To the last minute.
That seems like a good start of the show.
No, but you got an invite.
Yeah, last minute, after niggas already had their suits and all that other shit tailored up.
What was you gonna wear?
I didn't. Yeah, but I didn't get it.
You did.
And you can come too, Fred. Thanks. That's an invite.
That is an invite.
That assures me a place.
He's nowhere to do it all.
Fred, you don't really be coming to stuff.
I do be coming to stuff.
It would have assured you a plate.
No, I ain't gonna lie. That ain't true. Anytime I didn't really ever call this nigga Fred and be like, "Hey, bro, I need you to slide."
Be coming to my stuff.
No, that was that one time, bro.
I'm gonna keep it a buck though.
That was one time in my tire. I had a hole in my tire.
I got one regret for my wedding, bro. And
I had
that
a hole
is,
in my tire when that day that happened.
Don't come to my stuff.
I do come to you. Don't do that.
I got one regret for my wedding.
We're bringing the show, man. And
that
the
is,
show. Hey,
I knew.
Right,
oh, my bad.
Let's bring in the
my
show.
Bad.
Let's bring
my
in the
bad.
Show.
My bad. My bad.
Start the show.
Hold on.
You don't want to wait for Prime? Hold on.
You about to be
done.
We're not doing the radio.
Not video.
Video, so you don't have to do the clap. That's just the subject. I mean, hey, bro, that's what happens when you're working with good technicians right there. You know, they.
That's a fact.
This is a cold open. It's good. Let's just start.
Yeah, cold open. Yeah, he got to cut it. It's
recorded. So. We on. We live. We live. We live.
Let's make it happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everybody know what it is. You hear the chatter. Thoughtful Narcissist Podcast, man. We back in the building. It's your boy Outlaw Uop in this thing. I got my co-host with me.
Hey, man. It's Rudder. We here. Another show. Got a big team here again. Appreciate y'all boys showing up for us, man.
Yeah, man, we got a few guests, a few friends of the show, an honored guest we have here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My boy Rod T. So, appreciate you coming through, my man.
Appreciate y'all having me again, man. L Block my logo.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're going to get into a little bit more of what that means today. We also got friends of the show, EP from Management.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. EP from Management. We here. We live. Oh, shit. Go Militia, 12K Gotti, shout it out. Go stream it, play, like, all that.
Okay. I still ain't heard that yet. I got to check that out. I haven't really been listening to much. But we got my boy Whitney, friend of the show, Prime Time.
Yo.
Talk to the people, man.
Talk to the people. Tell the people to talk to me.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a bar.
Check him out.
Tell the people to talk to me.
Single on the way.
You gotta go like, follow, comment, subscribe, man. All that shit, man. Go do that. Comments for sure. Need feedback. Definitely from this show. We're gonna talk about a lot of good shit. On the ones and twos, got my boy, the threes and fours, Dub Don Dada. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you for sure, always, man. Shout out to the whole team. Shout out to everybody, man. Prestigious Pedigree. You know, Proctor Media Productions,
yes,
man,
sir.
Mr. Upholstery, Forever Up, everybody, you know, my boy Rod T, honored guest in the building.
I'm here, man. Let's get it started.
So, you know, first off, man, we just want to, you know, give you a warm welcome to the show. Of course, we appreciate you coming through. This is your first time on the show.
Nah, he was on the show last year. Well, 2 years ago. Remember him and Lily was on the show.
Him and Lily was on the show last year. You
no,
were on
ago.
The show.
That was a while ago.
That was
2 years
a few
ago.
Years ago.
That was a while ago.
Yeah. Okay. Damn. I can't even remember.
What was that show?
So long.
Bro.
Yeah.
Marriage. Okay. Marriage. So this is your second time on the show here.
Yeah. Second
so,
time.
And y'all still
you know
in
what
it?
I'm saying? We still in there. Marriage still on.
Yeah. We still
strong.
In.
You know what I'm saying? That's what's up.
It's important thing to note, though.
Yeah, that's no, you got to know that. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. We four and a half strong.
Oh, yeah, that's what's
yeah,
up.
Man, round clap
applause.
That, man. Clap that up, man. Four and a half, baby.
Round of applause, man.
For sure.
Great to see that, man. We love, you know, to hear the love stories of successful marriages, bro. It's you know, that's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear the bad shit, of course. I'm pretty sure most of us in here maybe would have aspired to be married one day or something like that, you know what I'm saying? So it's good to know that we got a success story in the circle, you know
man.
What I'm saying?
For sure.
Definitely it's something to be proud of, for sure.
Yeah, we rocking and rolling, man. Taking it one day at a time.
That's what's up. Yeah, so, man. besides your successful marriage, let us know a couple other things you got going on right now. Like, you know, anything you want to tell us about yourself? Like, let us know a little bit about you. Let the people know who you are.
Yeah, well, I guess I would say who I am has nothing to do with my accolades or what I'm doing. You feel me? So, if you hear me say, like, L Block is my logo, for me, I'm just a young boy, you know what I'm saying, living in the shadows of my older brother. I never really got outside of his shadows. So I still look up to my older brother. I still really see him as an advisor, as a mentor, you know what I'm saying? So I still really grind like I'm from the block. I live my whole life really just trying to inspire people that from a small town that they can really make it, not get out of it, but they can really make it and be proud of where they're from and never have to change from that. So, you know, I've had the privilege to live in 4 or 5 states. You know what I'm saying? Like, I lived in Cali for a year. Now I live in Minnesota. So I've had the experience or the privilege, you know what I'm saying, to really see just like the different vibes and the different ways people live in America. And just, you know what I'm saying, like how different people get down. And personally, the South is still my favorite place to be. You know what I'm saying? And then the block really is still home to me, bro. Like, I always have to come home and really kiss the ground from where I'm from. So what I got going on now, though, is, you know, I run my own organization. So I founded a nonprofit organization working with high school student athletes, man, to discover an identity beyond sports. And that's really important to me. And that's really close to me because of my story, you know, and who I felt like I was and what I identified as a teenager and to who I am today. And really, now you're good. Really who I am today, you know what I'm saying, in that transition and how I transformed from that identity to really just understanding there's more to life than having a singular identity.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely interesting. Yeah, we sorry somebody interrupted.
No, no, somebody wanted.
We're gonna keep it pushing, bro.
Yeah, we're gonna keep it. Yeah, we're gonna keep that pushing. Yeah. That's how we do that. But no, so I just want to talk about that. So football's always been part of the bloodline. It's always been everything about. So how has what you've learned from football transitioned to now what you're doing in the nonprofit space? Nothing. No leadership, anything, nothing like that.
Nothing. Okay. I don't think, me personally, okay, like a lot of people may have that experience. A lot of people may have, like that story. But for me, when I was 7 to 8 years old, like I was taught the game was to be pure domination. All you're supposed to do is dominate your opponent. And how I view life and how I view business, I'm not really trying to dominate you. I'm trying to create relationships. So I don't really feel like football taught me anything that really transitioned to life. I feel like it was things outside of football that helped me transition to life. And that's what really made me think like, oh, the sport that I gave my all to, it really never taught me anything that I'm doing now, if that makes sense. But I was singular focused on it.
Well, I would push back. It taught you leadership and things of that nature, right? Brotherhood, things of that.
Yeah, I had brothers.
Yeah, to trust.
I had brothers before I ever played the sport. Organized. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I grew up with all my cousins not all my cousins, but I grew up with a lot of my cousins in a, you know, half a mile radius.
Yeah.
We walked to school together. You know what I'm saying? We did everything together. So I knew brotherhood before I ever played the sport as an organized sport. I knew leadership before I ever played the sport as an organized sport. I felt like I learned leadership outside of the sport. I just played the sport because I was good at it. I didn't work hard.
No, I feel it.
You know what I'm saying? If you know me, you know I ain't work hard at being good at football. So that's what I'm saying. My story, I ain't really gained nothing from it.
I feel like the fact that you were so good at it and it came so easy to you, it kind of didn't get to be instilled with those other things about football that could have, you know, benefited you in
sure.
other ways.
Right. I understand that's other people's stories. Right. I understand that
you feel
other,
like other
people's
story be cliches when they say that?
Nah. Because okay. I understand that you can learn those things from it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There
you
are moments
right.
that you can.
Right.
But I talk a lot about it. To me, I like to see practical translation. A 4th-and-1 don't really translate anywhere in my life.
You don't think pressure having to execute when the time matters the most?
What's the pressure?
For what, the 4th-and-1?
Yeah, it's a competition.
Yeah, that's the pressure. Having to compete, having to be better than the man in front of you.
But what happens if I don't succeed at that?
And you don't have the pride of looking at that man and sound.
Yeah, exactly. You think I'm caring about the pride? I'm not.
Some niggas do.
That I understand that. I'm saying other people might have that story. I'm just saying I don't have that story. You see what I'm saying?
So for you, like, football was never like an end-all, be-all, like they kind of instill it into a lot of the players that you see coming up or even participating actively of, like...
Nah, it was. Okay. It was the end-all, be-all. Football was my life. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But because brotherhood, because before I played organized football, I felt like I had developed skills to play it at a high level. Once I started playing it, like, I didn't learn anything that was transferable to life. Because that's the question. I didn't learn anything that was transferable to life. I learned a lot of stuff when I was 8, 9, and 10 that was transferable to middle school and high school in football. See what I'm saying? Little League football is the hardest practices I ever had in my life. Little League football was the hardest practices I ever had in my life. Because our Little League coaches were all about pure domination. Them dudes just wanted us to slaughter other 8 and 9 year olds. So that was my mind frame. My mind frame is we go out there.
So then why is the nonprofit then? What's the nonprofit then? Why do a nonprofit?
Well,
washing money?
No, I'm not washing money. And why do a nonprofit? The reason why I did a nonprofit is because I understood the business. Mm-hmm. Being in the nonprofit, I would have chosen to be a for-profit, but I understood nonprofit business structure. So that's why I chose nonprofit. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So if you're asking me why do what I do now, it's because I understand that a singular identity is detrimental to you when you're trying to transition out of it. Mm-hmm. Because at some point, if you're playing a sport, you have to transition out of that
so
sport.
So where did that experience come from with the nonprofit?
High school. So you take high school, like my whole identity was football. You know what I'm saying? So senior year, when I don't sign and go Division I, that's a life crisis, bro. You know what I'm saying? So I'm 18 and I'm having a crisis, an identity crisis, because I only created this idea that football is my end all be all. So boom. So I go to Point University, right? That's a humbling experience to me, bro, because I think I'm better than NAIA football. But it's the opportunity that I got. Yeah. So now I got a choice to make. Do I act like I'm better than where I'm at? Or do I...
Come to play.
Right. Do I hone in on reality and say the decisions that I made is the reason why I'm here? Mm-hmm. And now I got the opportunity to make decisions to have the best opportunity and the best experience that I could have. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can do. That's all you really ask for out of experience like that.
For sure. So that's why I had a nonprofit.
But what I'm saying is, you said you understood the business of a nonprofit.
Right.
Where did you get that experience to understand? Like, where did you first
start? I worked in a nonprofit for seven years.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. I worked in a nonprofit for 7 years, so I understood it. You know what I'm saying? As an employee, I understood how financing goes. I understood, you know what I'm saying, how do you sell it. I understood how to structure a nonprofit.
What was the goal of that nonprofit you was working with?
To end hopelessness among youth.
Homelessness?
Hopelessness.
Hopelessness.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a faith-based organization.
Shit. I
mean, right.
Okay. I can understand that.
Yeah, that's always
going to be a pool for that.
That's something that's new.
You can make up a lot of hopelessness coming in.
And there's
a lot of hopelessness coming in, man. Yeah. There's a lot of it.
That's something that's definitely needed for the community.
But,
and you, in a sense, are still doing that. In a way, just more so tailored towards, you know, identity crisis with sports.
I'm trying to be preventative, bro.
Right, okay.
I'm not
you're
trying to be
preventative.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not trying
reacting.
To be reactive,
bro. You don't
bro.
Want to come to the...
So you're trying to help kids not define themselves by the sport.
Exactly.
Right. Don't define yourself
exactly,
as just
bro.
An athlete, as a teenager.
Exactly,
bro. It's much
bro.
More to life.
It's so, much so more much to more, you, bro. Not even life, bro. It's much more to you.
Why is that important?
Because it's much more to you than any singular... identity, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. Like, we all have things that we do. We all have things that we're good at doing. Whatever you do, whatever you're good at doing, shouldn't become your singular identity. Okay. Because once you create that singular identity, you can't control if you'll have that forever. Right. So if you think that you can control that you'll have that forever, once it's gone, then you're going to be at the bottom. Right? You're going to be lost. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be in a position that you never envisioned yourself being in. So all I'm saying is you're going to be in that position. We're going to make sure when you get into that position, like when you get into the space where you have to transition, we're going to make sure that you're holistic or you well-rounded enough that you understand like how to navigate if you do get lost.
So like, it's like how to transition from having superstar syndrome to, you know, having to be normal kind of thing like that?
For sure, bro. Every kid, but bro, there's 7 million people that play sports in high school. Mm-hmm. All those kids, it's like 500,000 kids that play college sports. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like 6% of people that play high school sports play college sports. Every kid that play high school sports isn't a superstar. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those kids still have that singular identity. Yeah. I know a lot of kids that play JV as a 12th grader, and they have a singular identity in that sport. Mm-hmm. It's like, you play JV. You definitely ain't going to college. You ain't going to college. Right. But, like, you put all your
eggs
into a sport. Come on, bro. Yeah. Who's around you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But parents, like, we do a lot of that too. Educating that.
That goes into a lot of different issues. I remember they were saying with the whole lot of police situation where it's like it's a lot of those guys who didn't make it to the next level. They end up becoming local police officers, things like that. And now they have kind of grudges.
Some sort of
from past experiences like that.
I never heard that, but there's a lot of people who have past grudges on not being able to make it to the next level. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I guess I could grudge people who played Division I who may look down on me for playing NAIA because I knew what I had at stake in high school. Mm-hmm. But then I'm not being honest with myself. That my decisions put me there. And I just much rather be honest with myself, bro. And I much rather a lot of us just be honest with ourselves, bro. I chose mediocrity. Mm-hmm. That's what I chose. I chose to be mediocre. Yeah. Because my mediocrity was above average.
And it wasn't like you didn't know there was a blueprint for it. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, you're right. Playing professional sports.
Right.
So it wasn't like you didn't have, especially right in front of you,
right,
what the tables took to get to that.
Correct.
So that's why it probably was like, well, it's a choice.
It was a choice. And you got to think, too, though. I never seen my brother study. Mm-hmm. So I just thought my brother was a genius. But my brother studied.
Yeah.
So, like, I take that into consideration when I'm around my son. Like, I open my computer up around my son, mm-hmm, so my son can see me working.
Yeah.
Because he don't see me when I'm at work. So I feel like it's important for my son to, like, visualize what I'm doing. You feel what I'm saying? And not just, like, the money coming out of nowhere. Because I really thought my brother Grace was just appearing. But he was working hard. You know what I'm saying? Right. But I seen him grind on the football field. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like those visuals matter to me now, bro. When I was a kid, it didn't matter. Like, but they matter to me now.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely. Right. Definitely.
So, what is that like, though, having, like, a professional athlete brother, though? Like,
that's not, ain't like nothing.
There's not pressure?
What kind of pressure, though, bro? You keep asking me pressure questions.
I mean, that's just like when you see somebody that's accomplished something like that, you want to go after that.
Oh,
you
want
to
be able
to say, like, hey, I'm... Just like a Shannon Sharp and his brother.
You know, yeah.
Boys, if his brother would have played longer, he would have both been Hall of Fame.
Ain't none of this pressure, though, bro. Like, and, but that's my point, too, though, bro. Like,
well, okay, I want to say, did the weigh on your mind? That's something that you contemplated. That's something that you thought about having.
Yeah, when I was 14.
Did you hear people say things like, hey, you got to be like.
Yeah.
Know? Okay, so I'm sorry. That's what I mean when I say pressure.
Yeah, but I guess, like, it don't create pressure, though. That I feel like. If you're good at a sport, then at some level you understand how to take, because pressure is distraction. So I'm gonna use the word distraction. You understand how to take the distraction away from it, like the external distractions away. You already have a certain level of pressure because of the way that you want to perform. Mm-hmm. So I already have a performance expectation. So I can't allow your expectation to dictate how I'm supposed to perform. And I feel like that's a large issue in America. Mm-hmm. Like, we expect, fans think that they care more than the players. So they expect the players to do what they're thinking they should do.
Right.
But you ain't even put in the time that I put in.
Right.
You ain't put in the effort that I put in. So I don't even care about your expectation. Right. So if I don't meet your expectation or not, bro, it ain't going to ruin my day.
Right.
If you go it's either I met my expectation or I didn't.
Right. If you think I'm going out here not trying my hardest, you stupid.
If you think I'm going out here to try for you, you stupid, bro. I'm out here trying for me, bro. I care nothing about you, bro.
Right, I'm doing this. But the whole idea, the whole idea that you know your teammates, shit like that.
Right, bro. The whole idea that they should care about fans.
Yeah, these motherfuckers don't give a fuck.
What the world, bro? Like,
I mean, that's a catch 22 when you talk about it in the professional realm, though. Bro, you say you don't care about fans, then okay, let's just stop coming here. Let's stop buying this merch.
You won't stop. You won't stop. No.
No, let's ask. But if you openly voice your disdain for the fans, let's see how we come out here.
No, I'm not saying disdain. I'm talking about.
You're wrong.
Yeah, he's not. It's not. He's not.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Because I've been talking a lot. Go ahead.
I give you a promise. Wrestling, they go out there every day and say fuck the fans to some degree.
But that's a staged. Like that's we know.
It don't matter. It don't matter. Like
it does matter.
First of all, there's been a long speculation that most professional sports is staged.
Mm. Okay, now you're getting into something different.
No, I'm paralleling off of what you just said. But what I'm saying is, like, you can have, prime example, look how many black people openly was like, I'm not fucking with the NFL after they've repeatedly taken the stance that they've taken against black people. Of, we mad at Colin Kaepernick, we're not going to come out and really condemn Jerry Jones for the shit that we just saw. Like, it's a bunch of shit repeatedly the NFL to just let you know, yeah, black people, y'all have the right to be outraged about this, but we don't give a fuck. Niggas is still out there repping Sunday.
Niggas, what?
Because we've already shown that if there's a money to be made, niggas can gamble on the games. Niggas can do a whole. If there's money to be made in something, that's different.
No, I'm just saying. But I guess what I'm saying though, I get.
Nigga, if all the black people stop fucking with these NFL teams, they still gonna make money because it's still hell.
Yeah, like the dollars.
The NFL openly disdain pushes their fans out.
We are the eighth.
I'm not talking about the motherfuckers who stop playing.
We are the eighth richest nation by the amount of money that we spend.
Yeah, we spend, okay, but we don't spend a lot of money on NFL.
Okay, my bad.
All that black advertising should be wrong. That shit goes like. Let me tell you why I know it's misinformation. Because they'll say how much money we spent in, and if you bought a house that year, they'll say you bought that whole house in their calculations.
You did though.
No, you did not.
What's your debt income ratio? What's your debt income ratio?
You didn't. You got a mortgage.
No, what's your debt?
Now you gotta get.
What's your debt income ratio?
Like I said, bro.
No. If you tried to go buy another house, would they put that on there?
But you bought the whole house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay then.
But okay, that don't have a go in real life. That's not real expectation.
That's real, but that's real life.
The number that you're using it. You're saying your buying power is that, but that's not it. That's not true buying power. Because those people don't have that $300K
to go get it right then. No, they don't.
That shit on your credit.
They bought it.
But they bought it on a system. Okay. They don't have that money. That's what I'm saying.
What I'm asking you is, if you went to go get another loan, would the whole house be
your money?
Would the whole house be on there?
But that's not, yeah.
Would your debt to income be?
But it's not your money. That's what I'm telling you.
It ain't my money, but that debt, that'll be on there.
They're trying to justify it through their own logic. And what I'm telling you is this. This nigga didn't have $300K to spend that year.
All right, how much do we spend on hair?
Who cares? It depends.
$1 billion.
Okay. And so that could be skewed too, because you could be adding in prices of what the shippers are bringing in for the stores, not actually what people are selling.
Just
for retail.
Just Google it, then you can Google it.
All that stuff is just manipulated to make black people feel like, oh, you're putting your money in the wrong spot. No, when it comes down to it, when you really look into the shit that's broken down, black people are buying shit that they need.
Well,
food,
this is a good conversation.
Residents,
this is good. I'm glad we talked about this.
Yes, they are. So
we
just want to hate black people.
I think it's a case by case.
I don't want to.
We are just going to go ahead and crank this topic off right here, man. The state of the black community. We talk about how we spending our money. We talk about, you know what I'm saying, what rhetoric say. You know, shit, we just getting essentials. We getting needs. You feel me? My boy Ryan say we spending it in the wrong place. You know what I'm saying? What we thinking here? What's going on with the community? Are we in shambles? Why is it fucked up like this? Why is the black community in shambles, man?
What's shambles? That's what I want to know. What's shambles?
I feel like it's just...
Because we don't believe in generational wealth.
It's misrepresented.
Here you go.
It's a lack of unification.
It's misrepresented.
I don't understand why you keep trying to put that on.
That was just a shot at rhetoric. Okay, that wasn't really intelligent. It wasn't an intelligent.
Let me answer this question.
Statement.
It's all right. We can take jokes. We can make jokes. It's cool. But like in the shambles. I mean, like you say, bro, it's not unified.
But are white people unified?
No,
against us.
No.
Okay, that's real.
No,
so.
They not.
No, they not. I can say no. That.
Hey, oh, a lot of sucking teeth around here. I just said no. I think that's a great point, but I want to just
I think one thing that they all can do very well is describe us to the police.
White people aren't unified compared to...
Black, to nobody. They ain't unified to the definition of unification, but we have to be unified.
We have to because we're the minority.
It's the systematic benefits that come with being white. That's how
That's kind of like an understood agreement more than so a unification where white nigga says we're moving this way.
Right. Hey, that's what I guess. That's what I'm saying.
Now Trump was doing that for the red whites.
I guess that's what I'm saying.
Red whites.
I feel like the reason why we're in shambles. I feel like the reason why we're in shambles. If that's the word that you want to choose.
All right, let me change that. I don't want to make it like it's just, it's over. It's all fucked up. It's over with.
I think it is in shambles.
I won't say shambles, but I say on a rocky road. We on a rocky road.
Yeah, we are past that, brother.
We on a rocky road. You said we passed that?
We're in shambles.
As a community that we have a lot of focus in the wrong places.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What does that mean? Misrepresented.
A lie.
What does that mean?
That's what I was just saying.
What does that mean?
I got you.
I think that we worry too much about the gossip.
Yeah.
Things that don't matter.
Bullshit.
Stuff that doesn't thrive us as a community.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
You see what I'm saying? We're misrepresented, though. The positives of the community versus all the negative splash come out.
You see what the community does, though? Like, where are we seeing this site that shows Justin Bieber giving a Bieber giving
and
to
you
the
know
white
why
folks
they do that
on,
to Justin? Because Justin looks like us.
No,
he wants to look like us.
You have blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah, he moved it up. He moved it up.
He wants to be a part of the culture.
He wants to look urban.
He wants to be a part of the culture. You know what I'm saying? So he gives that look, and he got it at an early age. When he was little, Bieber, they was loving him. You see what I'm saying? He ain't know no better. His parents were still making a decision for him.
That's how
he
got the deal.
Listen.
But my thing is, as a community, our focus is on the wrong thing. Because you don't hear about the white man who's sleeping with these women that they work with. But these black men, and they getting drugged in the news.
You know why
we
don't hear about them? Because Epstein's list gets thrown out.
No, it's a different reason too.
Man,
but
listen,
I don't want to be that guy either. Like,
I'm gonna go.
There's a natural stigmatism of, and this, like, you could kind of speak to it. Like, there's a, I don't know what it is culturally with us, but even in doing that, of like being a black man and like choosing to like indulge a non-black woman, it's frowned upon. It's looked at bad. Like,
not a black woman.
Right, but here's the catch 22. They have their moments where
definitely Euros. Euros definitely look down. They hot.
Yeah, they hot.
They
but
Euros super hot. They hot.
On the flip side, though, when you see our women go be with white men, it's openly kind of celebrated.
It's not like black men are saying, oh, white women, go. No, it's when black women see a black woman with a white man, they're going to be like, oh, go get your milk. But when they see us with it,
they ain't never heard it. Y'all boys right. Hey, y'all boys right, though. He stay with some. Hey, that.
But when they see us do it, then that's, they'll get critical, just vice versa. That's
you hate your mom.
Yeah, go
that's
get.
That's what happened. Yeah.
But look, no. Like, awesome. Sell real out. Shit, bro.
How you feel, bro?
No, I'm not saying that, bro. I said that's what they say. Listen, bro.
Watch him. Conservative.
Charleston Watt. Colors are supposed to stay in the same box.
I'm not saying you're supposed to. I will talk about that in a moment.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it.
But Dr. this is what I'm saying, bro.
Yes, man.
Dr. Umar
be giving it up.
Hey, I got my own thoughts about that.
Listen, bro. Listen. We'll talk about all this shit. But what I was saying was like, bro, I agree. And that's what I was saying. We're misrepresented, bro. Like, why the fuck is the leaders of our community rappers, entertainers? Like, these niggas have no These niggas have no education, no experience in representing anybody
because
except for they sales and they team. They have no,
but it goes back
they
to
have
what
no,
said before.
Wait, they have no fucking works in social policy, public policy. They don't know nothing about no laws. They don't know about shit, but we steady sticking niggas mics in these niggas' faces talking about some, oh, what you think about this? Nigga, he don't get, who gives a fuck what he think about
this? He stopped learning to read in sixth grade.
No, it doesn't matter because, nigga, you have no effect on it.
No.
Nigga, we need to be talking about these motherfuckers who really in charge, these politicians, these motherfucking doctors, these professors, the people who really are like educators and influencing the fucking
Arnold
community.
Schwarzenegger.
We need these people to step up and be the ones who fucking,
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, in California.
But
you feel what I'm saying?
Donald Trump.
I think it's because of that, though, because of what he said. Because we got our focus on the wrong shit. Like,
no, it's not.
Yes, it is, bro.
No,
a real,
they have the money.
Hey,
so if money goes there, that's where we're gonna attract
money.
That to power. We see them on TV.
But money is
in
power.
Money. That's how we're gonna
money
dictate
power.
Leaders.
I'm speaking directly
money
to the.
We don't have money.
Black folks.
We don't have money.
Money ain't power.
But we don't have money.
But it's our influence.
No, but we don't have
that's
money.
That's how you grab our influence.
The richest motherfuckers you can think of. They ain't got no power, dog. They don't.
Because,
they ain't got no money,
and I'm
no
trying
money.
To tell you, it's because
no
those people are chosen. Like, a real leader, like, the people he naming specifically, like, the rich upper percent, they're selected and chosen to be there for a reason. Because we are,
play.
Not even that, because we're so distracting to what he was saying earlier, we feeding and looking to that whenever they come up and pop up with anything. A leader of the people, a Malcolm X, a Fred Hampton, Martin Luther King, like, those people were chosen by the people.
People. I agree.
And because we are so distracted, because our view is so askew to other shit that's not important, we're not even looking amongst the people because everybody's so worried about self. Everybody's
like,
so
oh,
covered.
Yeah,
just,
like,
we just said,
like,
but
oh, this
just
nigga
time
a motherfucking, this nigga a motherfucking doctor. All right, this nigga a pastor. This church down here, he talking some good
well,
shit.
I'm
but don't give a
but
fuck
this the system being at work, too, because
like,
I'm going to ask you.
Like,
I'm going to ask you. When the last, what's the last black doctor you saw?
What you mean, like, in the doctor's office? Like,
yeah, like, I've been, yeah.
No, like, a real doctor.
What's you mean like
career? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like a surgeon? Are you trying to say
like
a surgeon?
In that, yes. But if you look at they, I'm not saying they aren't everywhere.
Okay.
What I'm saying is it's a lower skewed number of them.
Yeah.
And
a lot of
us don't have access to them. Because most of the doctors that I see or go to, and I look for black doctors actively, but I see a plethora of white doctors and Asian doctors
Asian
and Indian doctors,
doctors,
and,
Indian doctor.
And they have the luxury and the ability to be able to go through the long road of what it is to be a doctor for school.
I just want to say to that point, cameras all. This is my camera. I am in an interracial marriage. Integration is the reason why you say that. Before integration, you had that.
But once people
feel after, if there wouldn't have been integration, you wouldn't have to actively look for it. So integration, I believe, is one of the reasons why we are in the state that we're in.
I can agree.
Versus the first thing that I would say is, if you talk about the system that was created in America, we were created to be an underclass. So right. We are already created to never have enough.
Right.
So if we were created in America, if they designed it that way, if there's a social design, right? If there's a social design for us to be an underclass, then I don't even know why we're asking the question. The answer is we were socially designed to be an underclass. That's why we're distracted. That's why we have the issues that we have. We're designed that way. We're programmed.
The infrastructure is that way.
The infrastructure is for us to
singularly.
But
that's what I'm saying. It wasn't always like that. Because
in America?
No, because just in the 60s, you had motherfuckers doing other shit that was, we just talked about, that was galvanizing the community. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but there wasn't.
And they made it their business to kill those people so that we would never rise up.
Yeah, but was there?
That was honestly, if we gonna keep it a bean,
yeah.
And y'all niggas gonna be really probably gonna hate this shit. Those were just a modern day influence at the time, and the government didn't know what to
right.
do.
Yeah, but
that's why niggas was getting off like that. Because niggas ain't never experienced where you put a nigga on the camera and everybody shut the fuck up.
Right. Yeah, he's saying it's a modern day influencer, but it's different when your modern day influencers are people who are like really of the community, who are actively out here talking to people, identifying problems, actively doing things to solve them. That shit is different from a nigga who played football. This nigga
or rap.
He was
or
a rap.
They were going with the. What do you mean? Bill yeah, Russell and Artemis right. was yeah, all doing
yeah,
that.
I'm not talking time about out, just hold Bill on. Russell, though. I'm talking
nah,
about
but athletes,
at that time, athletes didn't even have the big enough profile for that shit.
Yeah, but athletes that did have the profiles were the faces. They were huge faces. They were
Ali.
Huge faces Kareem. In the movement. Right. As a matter of fact, those people attached themselves to those powerful
right,
athletes.
That was like, now we have people with more money who are actually
more eyes,
out here
more,
just like us,
yeah.
though, for
I guess,
real.
But I guess
but not just a motherfucker, because it was other athletes who was not interested, and you didn't see them niggas out there.
Right.
See what I'm saying? We naming one or two, but nigga, it was 50 niggas boxing.
I understand. I understand what you're saying.
Out there.
I understand what you're saying. I just think I want to make this point because I don't know how much more time we have. I just want to make this point. And I want to hear more what you have to say, Kiwan. I just want to make this point. I was listening to a guy who was living around this time where integration was happening. His family owned a black bus line. He said when the civil rights leaders did the bus boycott, people in his city literally said, "We want white buses so we can sit on the front."
Yeah.
And they had black bus lines.
Cause they're
ignorant. So they shut the black bus lines down to get white bus lines in the community so they could sit on the front.
Stupid.
Well, the bus is nicer?
Doesn't matter.
No, that matters.
No. Time out. No, listen.
I think we're missing the point.
I think we're missing the point. His point was
sit like my supposed to sit on some pine.
No.
Subjective.
I think you're missing the point. His point. No, I think you're missing the point. His point was, we dropped the ball because the ball wasn't integration. The ball was the ability to share the money.
Yeah.
If I have equity, if I have ownership, I have more power.
The right. one thing we always
if I don't have equity and ownership, I don't have power.
So what they should have done.
So what they should have done was unify
right,
how to
okay,
create more black bus lines.
Right.
That's his point.
That
was, like,
that
how
was,
do we get more black bus
lines?
That's
why they killed kids. That's the
niggas
shit
not letting y'all sit in the front of the bus.
You don't know that.
He was about to start unions.
Nah.
How do you know that?
Because that was what his men said.
No. But have you seen the documents?
Of him? No, I said
of him saying that.
Not him saying that.
So earlier you talked about all this false information that we get.
Yeah.
But hold on, time out, bro. Time out, bro. No, I ain't gonna let you say what he spoke about. Have you seen the documents? You done seen a lot of documents
about.
From King.
I
have you ever seen that document?
What he spoke about, yeah.
Have you ever seen that document?
I've seen what he
spoke every
about.
Every document, every time he spoke, you can find that document.
Before he got killed,
you can find the writing. You can find the writings. You can find the physical writings.
You can find where the transcripts.
You can find the transcripts of him having those documents talking about his next steps.
So here's
you seen those
I
documents
say.
Before?
That was before he got killed.
Have you seen those documents?
Because
that was the question that I asked. And you, so now you read those documents. Yeah. I'd like you to pull those documents up because you can pull them up. Pull those documents
like
up.
I got one. Like I just said, basically.